The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Bob Stoops is going to be joining the show here today. He's in the Valley. He has a tea time, so we're going to get to Bob Stoops. I won't say momentarily, but in a bit. Bob Stoops, he's going to the National Football Foundation, College Football Hall of Fame, which is great for him. Did terrific work. Also want to talk with him about Kyler Murray and Spencer Rattler and just what it is in this day and age of coaching versus when he coached. Is it much different or not? Bob Stoops here momentarily. Goody is going to jump back on. I've not had Bill on in a few weeks. Bill Goody Kuntz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central, on the legacy of Rush Limbaugh, because I have my own stories that Bill and I will talk about. When I came into the business in the late 80s and our station carried Rush Limbaugh versus the person who passed away yesterday, Bill's got some very strong opinions on that. We will visit with Bill Goody Kuntz. He has a great column up on AZ Central if you want to check it out. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. Jeff Mishi and I were texting this morning on some things. He does a great job with Desert Financial. We appreciate Desert Financial and their support. All right, so there's a big trade that was made in the NFL just in the last half hour. Carson Wentz gets sent off to Indianapolis. There's a draft pick, a couple draft picks here on this, and one of the conditions is he must play 75% more or more, and then the pick becomes a first-round pick given by Philly to the Colts. So here you have more movement at quarterback in the NFL, and we have not even hit the league calendar reset yet, which is in the middle of March. And, you know, if you're the Cardinals, you're sitting there with Kyler Murray, even though Deshaun Watson wants out, even with DeAndre Hopkins here. I am not one of those that says you should go out and make another deal with your quarterback. Please just sit and be patient. With Deshaun Watson now sitting out there, the biggest name available, the Denver Broncos and the 49ers are two teams that have been kicked around. And then the way Russell Wilson has acted, talked, maybe there's something there in Seattle, maybe there's not. So quarterback movement continues to rule the day. Last night I watched Serena and Osaka. It was short and it was sweet. I don't know if you guys know this, but Naomi Osaka is the highest paid female athlete in all of sport. And yet I feel like if I were to talk to people about give me the highest paid female athlete, they may say Megan Rapinoe. Some may say Diana Taurasi. I feel like in this last year and on the site on Sports 360 AZ, about a year and a half ago, I said, let's put up a tab that is women in sports because we just have to do a better job. We have to find those stories that are local or with a national spin. And let's not be afraid to talk about them. Let's not just sit here and play the easy card, which is let's do NFL and backup left tackles all day. We're not doing that. This is not the place if that's what you want. There's plenty of places you can go to get that stuff. But I think Naomi Osaka, in watching her last night, she gets $30 million a year in endorsements. So obviously she's doing some things right and she's good. Nothing worse than let's build up somebody and they're not good in sport and pay them a bunch of dough because they have a certain amount of followers and they can't play dead. I hate that stuff. It was fun to watch her last night. You know, watching Arizona State basketball last night, that's a hard watch right now because Bagley and Christopher both hurt. Bagley and Christopher probably one and done. Bagley and Christopher, without them, ASU's pretty ordinary. They are. They're trying. It's not like they're not playing hard. I thought they played hard. And then the other side of the coin is USC is just flat better with the Mobleys. The Mobleys are probably better than having Bagley and Christopher on the floor at the same time last night. I don't know if the outcome would have been much different. Might have been closer. Probably would have been closer. But those two, oh my gosh. It's like watching Kevin Durant just do his thing. Great size, getting up and down the floor. That's impressive to watch them. So I watched them last night. And I did some, you know, zooming around and talking to people about the Tatis contract with the Padres. Feel bad for Diamondback fans today. Look, you cannot possibly believe you're going to win the National League West with the Dodgers. And if you look at Tatis and just how good he is and he's this young, and he gets the third highest paid contract in the history of Major League Baseball. You know, his numbers, he's hitting 10 percentage points higher than Mike Trout did. And so the Dodgers and Padres are in the National League West, and what do we have here for the next 5 years, 10 years? Is it simply a team that we're going to be excited that goes out and wins 89, 80, 79? Our great late friend Pedro would say, you know, they're just in this tough spot and would go down this, we'd go down this conversation about we just don't see them coming out of this and being competitive in postseason. Expanded playoffs, maybe. But, man, that's a tough one. When I saw that number yesterday for Tatis, and just seeing what they've done in the offseason, adding Blake Snell to the rotation, adding Yu Darvish to the rotation, it's really not fair. It really isn't fair. And then Torrey Lovello being in the final year of his contract and trying just to figure that out and what the Diamondbacks are going to do moving forward. It's a tough deal. One other note. So the recruiting dead period, I had a coach tell me this a couple weeks back, and I did not talk about it here on the show. For those of you in the college football recruiting space, for those of you that follow recruiting closely, and we do a lot of it on the site with Jordan Hamm, so the recruiting dead period has been extended through May 31st. What does that mean? It means that we're continuing to see college coaches go out and make offers to players they've never met in person. In person. Anybody can do fine on a Zoom. Anybody can do fine on a phone call. But go walk around campus with them for 2, 3, 5, 6, 8 hours. I don't know. Go have them show up on unofficials. Go see them face-to-face and see what you're getting. And then throw the transfer portal in there. You know, is that kid willing to be coached hard enough, pushed hard enough? We can talk with Bob Stoops about that and much more on the other side. Bob Stoops, legendary Oklahoma football coach going into the National Football Foundation College Football Hall of Fame. That is on the other side. And then Goody, I'm Brad Sussmad. All right, as promised, excited to have Bob Stoops with us, the great Oklahoma Sooner head football coach who is now going into the College Football Hall of Fame. Of course, the National Football Foundation does great work here in the Valley. We love being a part of them, and I wanted to have the coach on to talk about that. Most importantly, he is playing Whisper Rock today, so I got to get you out of here, right? You got to warm up.
You know, fortunately, I got stuck out west here in L.A. and then Phoenix ahead of the storm that came through this whole, our whole Southwest and Midwest. It's just been brutal. So I know no one's feeling bad for me. I got stuck out here in Scottsdale for a week with my wife. So fortunately she's with me.
There you go. Hey, yeah, we're going to stop in Scottsdale, honey. And I'm going to go play Whisper Rock and we'll just wait this storm out. And, you know, obviously not to make light of it too much for everybody back there associated with it, but
no, it's devastating. Well, I'm watching the pictures throughout Texas and whatnot. I'm just praying for everybody. It looks awful.
All right. So Whisper Rock, are you going to tear it apart or is it going to beat you up? Do you have any idea?
More than likely, I'll have I played it a couple of days ago. I had two birdies, so I got a little bit of it, but it got the better of me overall.
That sounds like fun. Bob Stoops with us for a few minutes. Going into the College Football Hall of Fame, the National Football Foundation, great honor for him. I wanted to have you on to talk about that and just what it means for you to have National Football Foundation, College Football Hall of Fame coach attached to your name.
Well, I being a son of a lifelong high school coach, it means a great deal. And from a family of coaches, the uncle I'm named after, longtime high school and college coach at Youngstown State, my older brother, my other younger brothers, Mike and Mark, also lifelong coaches. So it means a great deal. I feel very fortunate to have traveled the path I have and been around so many people that have helped me and influenced me through the years. So I'm just a product of all of them. And my congrats to all the other Hall of Fame inductees as well. And I'm grateful and appreciative of it.
What makes a coach work so well in 2021 versus when you first broke into it? Is there any difference from what you can see, Bob, or is it all about the same?
Some of it's very much the same, strategies and techniques and in the way you diligently work. But I think more than ever in today's world, maybe as disconnected as everyone seems to be on all their devices, you have got to relate to your players and be close to your players, genuinely close to them, and relate to them to be able to motivate them and get them to see the big picture and what you see for them and what they can be and what this program's about. So to me, it's a great deal of communication and feel.
And is it, could you have handled the noise of social media where everybody's got a voice in somebody's ear, or the transfer portal in this day and age where Coach Stoops got on me today and he got on me yesterday, my position coach got on me last week, I'm just going to leave? I mean, things it feels like are just harder for coaches to do their jobs in this day and age. And it really has to be a special environment like OU is now.
Yes and no. Again, that's where the field comes in and the relationship comes in. They've got to be able to trust you, know that you've got their best interest at heart. And when you can reach them that way, you can coach guys hard. And a lot of guys, you know what, there's a good number of them out there that do want to be coached hard to be able to reach their potential. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every day is not a feel good day. That's the way of competition in big time athletics. It is tough. It is challenging. And again, I think it gets to getting your players to understand that. And then when you have your opportunities to be light and to have some fun and enjoy their company, you find ways to do that as well.
Yeah, it's embrace the grind, I guess, is a good way.
Exactly. And again, when you're able to have some downtime and relaxing time with people like that, your players, you find a way to do it so that it isn't all work, that you're enjoying the opportunity as well.
How involved are you with Oklahoma now? There are a lot of Sooner fans out here, so how involved are you?
Well, not really. Different occasions can help the athletic director with certain functions. Lincoln called me up the last part of the season just to be around. I can't go in after being away as long as I have and all of a sudden start influencing practice or telling a guy what to do, but I can walk around and spread some confidence, some enthusiasm, pat a guy on the back, great play. And a lot of these young guys I do still know, a good part of them I still recruited. So I was able to be around and help just in that way. You know, at the time we were down four coaches due to the virus. So that's a lot of presence around practice to be missing. So I was able to jump in and just be around the guys and again, spread a little positive energy. But other than that, you know, Lincoln and I keep up. I'm not influencing anything. But we are good enough friends and close friends and trust each other. And he knows all I want is for him to succeed and do well in the university, that he'll call me from time to time on something that he's pondering or wondering about, which direction he might want to go. And not that it's always going to go what I say, but I give him my 2 cents. So we're really good that way, that he trusts my experience and our friendship. That when he has something, he knows he can confide in me on which direction he's looking to go.
Bob Stoops with us. He's going into the College Football Hall of Fame, National Football Foundation, here for a couple of minutes. He's got a tee time at Whisper Rock, so I'm not going to take any way time on that. He's got to slow his swing down.
You keep throwing that in, don't you?
I'm hoping. I'm hoping for you, Coach. Kyler Murray, Spencer Rattler. So two quarterbacks with Valley ties. What do you see out of both of them at this stage of their careers?
Really excited, not only what Kyler's doing out here in the desert, but also Cliff Kingsbury. I loved the hire when they hired Cliff. In fact, I called Cliff and told him that he's going to continue to do well. And I think the best years are coming. Kyler's an exceptional talent. Everybody has seen it, not only his arm talent, but I think, too, everyone does realize how well he can run and escape and create big plays with his legs and his quickness. But also maybe what gets undersold because he's more of a quiet guy. He's a true, true competitor. I mean, this guy has won at every stage of his life in a big way. So, I don't see that changing in his leadership. I mean, he'll find a way to, you know, to spread that throughout the team. So anyway, he's going to do great and he's well on his way. Spencer Rattler is really lighting it up for a young freshman. I think he had 34 touchdowns last year to 7 interceptions. And he's just scratching the surface. He missed spring ball last year. You know, he did all of this with his first year starting, with all of these craziness around the virus and so much downtime around the virus. And he still put up the best numbers of any freshman. So anyway, he's just getting started. I look for him to have a huge year this year. He got great arm talent. He could throw from any angle, just like Kyler, Baker, Mahomes, those guys all throw. They got that arm that they could throw from any angle. The ball comes out fast. And he's athletic, you know, to run around and escape. And I think also what people underestimate, he's going to get bigger and stronger. Mm-hmm. All these guys do in college. You know, they start to make these gains in the weight room. And I really expect to notice that this year with Spencer.
Hit him straight. Appreciate the time and insight. Congratulations on the award, Bob. Thanks for the visit.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
There's Bob Stoops with us, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, Goody joins us now. Bill Goody, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. Good to see you. You are starting to get back into out of election mode, out of, I don't know, impeachment hearing mode, and you're starting to get back into mainstream a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, the trick is I don't think I ever left. Certainly didn't. But other things just take get a little more attention. You know, the movie section cut every Friday and I got to have some stuff in there, but yeah, I think one of the things that's happened is, like everything else. I mean, it's just been such a screwy year and in terms of movies, it's still sort of 2020, mm-hmm. Because we're now in Phoenix starting to see a lot of the kind of, the Oscar level type films that maybe got a quick release at the end of 2020 in New York and LA. Or even just online there, you know, again, it's just so weird this year, but, where typically, you know, December would be where you and I would be going to the movies every night because there are these movies that you kind of have to see. Now it's just sort of being stretched out into what are we, the middle of February. Honestly, you told me it was January. You told me it was March. I would believe you, but it's just, you know, time has lost all meaning, but I think there's a glut of really good movies right now. And I think that is also sort of shaping things. There's things that I feel like I have to see, I want to see, and I have to see. It makes you feel a little bit like a Pollyanna because so many good movies come out. It's like, wow, does this guy like everything? It's like, no, I just like the stuff that's out right now.
Best movie I've seen this year is Mank. That's the best movie I've seen. What's the best movie you've seen?
The best movie I've seen is Minari, which came out last. Well, again, that's one of those ones that played briefly at the end of 2020 to get Oscar eligible. And now it's out. You can go to the theaters and see it, or you can buy a virtual ticket online. And then I believe it's going to start streaming on Hulu tomorrow. I love that movie. It's Lee Isaac Chung. He's the director, and it's about this Korean family trying to make it in rural Arkansas. And the grandmother from Korea comes to live with them. And her relationship with the son is funny and troubled and cute and moving and everything. And it's great because that sounds kind of like, you know, the grandmother comes to live with the family, like a movie maybe you've seen before, but it's really different. And it's really well done. You know, you talk about Mank, doesn't it seem like that came out about 10 months ago?
Oh, forever. When I saw it, I think I even sent you a text that, man, this is good. But I just don't know if people – it's not been released in theaters yet. It's one of those I feel like I need to go see in a theater. I saw it in my living room, and it was fine. But I feel like that the common fan won't get the full impact unless they know the history of Mank and where that rolls in. I'm not going to give away more than that.
But if you're telling a friend, you might want to give them a little more just so they're grounded. That movie, my guess is, will never be released in theaters because it's a Netflix film, and there's no incentive for them to put it in a theater. They just want your subscriptions. They literally do not care if it makes a dime in theaters, if it makes $1 billion in theaters, that doesn't matter. What matters to them is whether it makes you subscribe to Netflix.
just understand Orson Welles, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
there's enough of a tease. All right. What have you seen here in the last couple of weeks, whether it's online or everything's got to be online for you? You haven't gone back to screenings at all, have you? And there's no screenings, right?
And I don't think there are any. Every now and then I'll get a publicist will say, hey, would you, studios are just asking, are you ready to go back? And I'll say no. And they say, okay, that seems to be the extent.
What have you seen that just last couple of weeks? It's like, okay, this weekend, here's something you need to watch. Because in all honesty, now that the Super Bowl's over, there's a few free weekends. College basketball's not doing much for me right now. There's some free Friday and Saturday nights.
Don't sleep on Virginia Tech, my friend Michael Young. That's all I can tell you. They're in second place in the predicted to finish ninth. They're in second place in the ACC. They killed UVA, cross-state rival, big rival. And Michael is probably – my guess is he will be ACC coach. And there's some pretty good coaches in the ACC. And there's some buzz about him being a national coach of the year. So which I'm, you know, for my seventh-grade basketball friend.
What are you – are you – you're pushing –
publicist? No. He's been my friend since seventh grade.
I mean,
we're still in touch. I would say that there's been a ton of good stuff. Minari, I would highly recommend, especially if you can tomorrow. Nomadland, which is another movie with a ton of buzz. Frances McDormand stars as a woman who her husband. This all happens before the movie takes place, but her husband has died. She's lost her husband. She's lost her job. She's lost her town. It was kind of a company town, and the company shut down. And it which is based on a real town, by the way. And she hits the road in a van. And Chloe Zhao, who directed this, she also directed a movie called The Rider, which was about a rodeo guy who suffers some brain damage, mild brain damage, and has to quit, you know, and she cast a real guy who actually had happened to him in that movie. And parts of some of his family sort of playing versions of themselves. And here, Frances McDormand, who is of course one of the great actors of all time. She's a real actor, and David Strathairn is in it. He's a real actor, but there are a lot of non-actors in this, and they filmed a lot of it in Quartzsite, where, there's a community of sort of like-minded, they call themselves like modern nomads. And they just, they drive around, they go from sort of, you know, temporary jobs to temporary jobs. She goes up to Nevada to an Amazon center at Christmas to work. And then she moves around, but she is fantastic. And it's, I mean, I've got to believe she's going to win the Oscar for this, but who knows? I don't know.
That's
a movie that,
like, anytime you can tie Quartzsite in on anything is other than,
and it's
stop
not McDonald's. Often
no, it's not. It's the only McDonald's I know has a sign that says no guns allowed, but
that's probably the only McDonald's in Arizona where no guns are allowed. It's really good. Another movie, and I don't think we've talked about this, but we should have, is One Night in Miami. And it's Regina King's film about the night that then Cassius Clay wins the title, beats Sonny Liston. And that night, and this happened in real life, the movie is based on a play. We don't know what actually happened that night, but we do know this, that night, Muhammad Ali, then Cassius Clay, Malcolm X, Jim Brown, and Sam Cooke all got together in a hotel room and talked. And it's them and Regina King, who is an Oscar-winning actress. She directed it, and it's sort of them sitting around talking, and you get some backstory, and you see some boxing and stuff. It's fantastic. It's just these four sort of, you know, like black iconic characters, and the performances are great. That's one. Sometimes, like, we talk about this a bit. There's a great movie and you recognize it as great, but you don't really feel like you have to see it again. You know, it's like, it's great, but it's not, There Will Be Blood, maybe the best movie I've ever seen. I have no desire to see it again. But boy, I would watch that one again and again, just because their performances are so riveting. And I know a little bit about all of those people, you know, and it's just so interesting to see them together and the dynamic of it.
Goody is with us. Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. You can check out all of his content over at azcentral.com. Rush Limbaugh passes away, and I will go back to 1988. I'm in my early 20s, and I'm working at a station, big blowtorch signal down in Baja that goes from Baja to the Canadian Rockies, we like to say. And the owner comes down, and he says, "We're hiring this guy, Rush Limbaugh. He's going to be on 9 to noon. He's going to be a big deal." And he had just left KFBK, and he came on, and it was one of those where we were still news evolving into sports. And on the sports end of things, I would go out to events, primarily the San Diego Chargers, San Diego State Aztecs. And these fans would say, "Love this show. Yeah, I wish you would do this a little more. That guy, Rush Limbaugh, I love him. Absolutely love him. He's so funny. He's so different. He's so unique." And then there's, "I hate that guy. I don't believe in anything that he says politically. And I turn your station off. But when he talks about this and he talks about that," I'm like, "Well, obviously you don't turn the station off." So I thought that when he passed away, Bill, I thought in his later years, he really turned politically in just becoming mean-spirited, I think is the best way for me to put it. I could go much deeper than that. I'm sure you will, reading your review of it. But your thoughts on the radio side of it, because he saved AM radio. AM radio was a wasteland. It didn't sound as good as FM. We're a KTAR. My good friend Pat McMahon would be on the air. They put Pat on the air. We joked it was K-Pat. Pat would do 9 to noon. Then he'd come back and he'd do 1 to 3.
Well, I was a guest on some of those shows.
Yeah, yeah. And they didn't know management.
Everybody in Phoenix was a guest on some of those shows.
Yeah. And management, I remember the great late Jim Tazarak, who ran KTAR, said his greatest regret was not believing in carrying Rush Limbaugh. And KFYI, if we're going to get real local here on radio, KFYI, when they bought the 550 signal and Fred Weber came on board and he put Rush Limbaugh on over there, that was basically the biggest challenge that KTAR had ever faced. And the numbers proved it. They got crushed. I mean, Pat was talking up against a behemoth. So that's my story on the back end. The legacy, that can be debated all day long. I'm curious your view of Rush Limbaugh, and you wrote about it. So take a look.
I did. And if it, by the way, if you, when you say he turned and got a little, you know, meaner, what I'm not sure, I can't how you phrased it, but if you mean by the last 30 years, then I would agree with you. I think that when he was making fun of people dying of AIDS, that was early on. That was not great. And some of the many things he said about women, the lies that he perpetuated, the Obama birther stuff, he continued that through the election. I think you're right about his influence. I think he and Howard Stern are the two biggest radio people easily in the second half of the 20th century, I would say. I think you would probably agree with that. And I think that people have a similar reaction to both of them for different reasons. It's like in the Howard Stern movie. Why do you turn it off? I can't stand listening to him. Why do you leave it on? I can't stop listening to him. You know, I want to hear what he says next, basically. I think that Limbaugh is, you can trace the real political divide in this country back to Limbaugh, I think. And I don't think that's a really great legacy. I mean, saving AM radio, that's great. I mean, I'm good for, I feel like somebody might've come along and done that too, and might've done it in a healthier way. I just feel like he didn't pioneer it, but he popularized it. This idea that you can, not only should you disagree with someone who doesn't share your beliefs, and in his very much white male, you know, they're coming to get us kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Not only should you disagree with anyone and think like you do, you should ridicule them. You should call them stupid. You should make fun of them. You should. It's not enough for you to be wrong. You also have to be stupid. And I just don't think that's great. And I met the guy one time. I met him in a locker room in the Suns locker room in Houston during a playoff game.
Right.
And I walked in there and I said, "Hey, you're Rush Limbaugh." And he said, "Yeah, I am." And I said, "Why are you here?" And he said, "Well, my expertise extends far beyond politics." And then he stopped and he said, "I'm just kidding." He said, "I'm friends with Westfall and we're going to dinner afterwards."
Yeah.
And he was like people say, he was off the air. He was pretty shy, pretty reserved, didn't, you know, kind of stood in the corner, kept to himself. But I just feel like his legacy on the air and not just him, but the people who imitate him. With Rush Limbaugh, there's no Sean Hannity.
Correct.
And correct. As Sean Hannity himself has said, and I'm not sure the world's a better place with a Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity the person? Sure. Great. Go out and continue to work in the gym or whatever. But Sean Hannity is someone not only shaping the public discourse, but having the presidents here. Not a fan, you might say.
I will say, and from a fan standpoint, I thought Rush, and when I'm in the building, right, when he's on your team, and you're listening to him every day, because in the late 80s, he was on my team. We listened to our station. And I didn't hear the same, not nearly the same tone or rhetoric. There were things that he would say, like I thought the Michael J. Fox stuff was probably around the time I said enough. Okay, I'm done. I thought that ESPN, going back to sports, one of their biggest mistakes ever was, let's just go get Rush Limbaugh and it's going to equate to great TV. And it didn't. It was awful. It was just flat, bad TV. It was bad television. And they were just trying to go to a base. And I agree with you about the banging people over the head, because you and I can disagree on things, but we're not going to sit here and hate each other and say, I'm never talking to you again. The cancel culture did exists, and some of it I would say is perpetuated by what Rush did. And there are those today that say he was the greatest thing ever. I would disagree with them all day long. But to me, on the business side of things with radio here in Phoenix, just localizing here in Phoenix, KFYI does not get off the ground without Rush Limbaugh. They just don't. And that 550 signal, when Fred purchased that, the real inside baseball here, but when Fred purchased that signal, it was really the first shot that KTAR took and damaged the brand a little bit, in my opinion.
And there's markets all over that have a similar story. You know, it's that's not peculiar to Phoenix. I mean, he was a titan of radio. I'll tell you something. I can't remember. I put this in the story, but when I put it out on Facebook or something, I think he was exceptionally good. The problem is what he did was really bad.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I do think that's fair. And I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and your insight as always. Make sure you read Bill's column over on AZ Central. There's Bill Goody-Coonson. We're back with more after this timeout.